Great. Good. Thank you. You can be seated. I was going to guess 121. That would have put me a little ways off, though. What was your guess? Anybody have a guess?
Genesis.
All right. Nobody had a guess? You don't want to stick your neck out, do you? What was the question? Oh, my goodness. We're going to have exercises. We'll have to everybody stand and do jumping jacks before I teach this morning. All right. Take your Bibles, please. Let's go to the book of Proverbs and chapter number 12. The book of Proverbs and chapter number 12. And we spent two Sundays on this chapter alone. And so, Lord willing, we're going to finish up here beginning with verse 23. And then we're going to go down into chapter 13. Lord willing, cover some of the verses in here. Now, we're talking about wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is a very vital thing in our life. And we're going to look today specifically at the subject of wisdom in life's details. Wisdom in life's details. You know, wisdom is so important that we put it in the details of our lives. It has to be incorporated even in every small thing that we do. And, you know, oftentimes we say, you know, the details are not important. Well, there's another quote I want you to get, and it's called, "The devil is in the details." Have you ever heard that one? That can be so true in our lives. And so we have to understand that the details of our life require an understanding of wisdom. So we're going to look at this passage today. So read along with me, please, beginning with verse number 23. And we'll go through chapter 13 and verse 7. "A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." Let's bow in prayer this morning. Father, guide us, we pray, as we open your word this morning. We need your power. We need your presence with us this morning as we open up thy word today. I ask, Father, that the words of truth, Lord, would come into our mind and our heart, that, Lord, we would hear them and apply them to our heart and our lives, Father. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we apply the truths of thy word to our everyday life, and, Lord, the details that we find in it. And, Lord, we'll pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I begin, I'm going to ask Titus back there, if you would get me some water, please. I'm on the edge of drought. Amen. You ever been there? Man alive. Well, I'm there today. All right, let's look at this passage of Scripture, and let's look at the verses of each passage of Scripture. Again, wisdom. Wisdom comes here from God through Solomon because he asked God specifically for wisdom. Can we ask God for wisdom?
Yes.
We can. Amen. And the Bible reminds us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. The only thing liberal about God is his willingness to give wisdom. Amen? I can just tell, some of y'all aren't even awake this morning. It's going to be an uphill battle. Amen, I can tell. But so God's teaching us through Solomon here wisdom. Now again, you remember the king of Israel was not just a king, but he had this position of being the judge, or actually the final authority in all matters that were brought to him. All civil cases, all criminal cases would be brought before Solomon. And he needed God's wisdom to be able to answer those things. Can I tell you, it takes a lot of wisdom in our life today to live our life and to be a help. Thank you, Brother Gonzalez. It takes a lot of wisdom today to live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we so need to know these scripture verses on wisdom and how to apply them in our heart in life's details. So let's pick up here. Let's begin with verse number 23 and look at what it teaches us. I'm going to grab a drink while I'm here. Oh, yeah, that's good. Amen. Okay, I'm ready to go now. Verse 23. Notice the Bible says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Now, this passage, this verse is teaching us that there is some knowledge in our life that should be concealed. There is some knowledge that should be concealed. Words should be weighed before we speak them. Somebody once told me, well, if it's, I just speak my mind. I just say whatever I think. Can I tell you, there can be some foolishness involved in that. Some things just need to be kept quiet. Amen? You know, you're driving down the road and you see the preacher get pulled over by the policeman for speeding. Right? That's a good illustration. Amen? Now, that hasn't happened, so don't worry about it. Amen? It'll probably happen this week. No, but here's the understanding is that he's saying that you shouldn't speak about foolish things. Foolish things should not even be in the vocabulary of a Christian. Things that don't honor God, things that we talk selfishly, or even dirty talk, filthy talk. You know, in the everyday work world, there are people that talk filthy and dirty. And, you know, that is something that a Christian should never be involved in. Because our Lord and Savior redeemed us and saved us from that kind of a tongue. Amen? You know, when God saved us, he didn't just save our soul, he saved our tongue too. Amen? And our tongue should reflect the change of God in our life. And, you know, I know sometimes there are people that before they get saved, they have a rough life or rough upbringing. And, you know, they learned a foolish pattern of speaking, a foolish pattern of talking, an ungodly talk. And you know what? That may be a difficulty for them to overcome in life, but that is one thing that God gives us in salvation. He gives us overcoming power and overcoming strength. To overcome those things and to not talk that way. I knew a man who went to work and he heard some guys telling a dirty joke. And they were slapping their knee and laughing. Yeah, that was really funny. And the Christian went up and he said, you know what? I think I'd have to take that joke to the laundromat before I went and told my pastor. I thought that was pretty good.
Yes, sir.
So I'm saying to you, what the scripture's teaching here is don't speak foolishly. Don't allow ungodly words. Don't let the devil tempt us, even in our temper or our anger, to say foolish words, vain words, words that are really filthy and not should not be part of the Christian's vocabulary. Amen? You know, sometimes it's good when we come and put our tongue on the altar. You know? And by the way, some people just don't think that it's that bad. Well, let me tell you something. It is not part of the true wisdom that a Christian should live by. Because when he saved us so that we can be a light and a witness to other people in the world. And if our tongue is not fashioned like the Lord Jesus, our testimony is going to be hurt and ruined and affected. You know, so there are some things that need to be kept quiet. Some things, and sometimes words can cause someone to stumble. You know, and you know, the Bible teaches that a Christian does not live in such a manner as to cause somebody else to stumble. I don't want somebody else to stumble. I want to live my life in such a way that nobody is stumbled, but everyone in my life around me is brought closer to God. And so, we have to speak this way. God is teaching us to use our tongue that way. Words can often discourage others from serving Christ. And there are things that, and he notes the contrast here, verse 23, the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. By the way, doesn't that verse teach that our words come from our heart? Our words come from our heart. Oh, it just slipped out. They really do come from our heart. So God's teaching us, you know, when that heart is right, we're not going to want to say things we shouldn't. Amen? And I think this also overlaps into times, you know, sometimes a mature Christian will see another Christian do something that's wrong or ungodly. Well, what do you do about that? Well, you know, the gossipy person goes behind the scenes and talks about them. Did you hear what I heard? You should have heard what I saw about Brother or Mrs. So-and-so, right? Did you hear that? You know, there are some matters that should be concealed and just brought to God in prayer. Amen? And if another brother stumbles and you see it, have this spirit. It could have been me that stumbled, and that Christian needs my prayer. Amen. And all too often we get really judgmental about people. And you know what I think is funny? Sometimes the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So we need to have this spirit that, you know, I'm made of flesh and blood just like everybody else is. And I'm just going to go to God in prayer for that individual Christian. And that's how we should handle these things. Because God's teaching us here, a prudent man concealeth knowledge. All right, let's go on. Number two. Verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Now, tribute, of course, is talking about taxation at that time. But I wrote this down. Diligence has good rewards. Diligence has good rewards. Diligence creates reward. Lack of diligence always brings a problem or a trouble. Diligence here repels wastefulness. And verse 27 kind of dovetails with this. It says, a slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Here's a guy that shoots a deer and just lets it die. He shoots it just to shoot it. He doesn't store up the meat or, you know, he just wastes it. You know, Christianity should teach us to not be wasteful. Amen? Not be wasteful. I mean, I'm old-fashioned. My kids had to clean their plate before they could get up from the table. Amen? You got to clean your plate. Well, I don't like it. I don't remember asking you if you liked it. Your mother cooked it. She made it. She spent her time. We spent our money buying it. Guess what? You're going to eat it. Amen. Amen. And if you die from it, I'll preach your funeral. We're not going to die. So he's teaching us here that diligence has rewards. Now, diligence is the ability to foresee the results of our decisions. Diligence, let me say that again, is the ability to foresee the results of our decisions. You know, wisdom is this ability to say, Lord, teach me where my decisions lead me. Show me. Lord. And you know, the Bible is a whole book that teaches us about this pathway, this diligently good pathway. And you know, I've learned as a Christian, if I'm going to be the Christian that God wants me to be, I have to be diligent. I have to be diligent. I can't just slack off or, you know, say, que sera, sera. God commands me to pray. God commands me to stay in his word. God commands me to be a soul winner. God commands me to love others. God commands me to be in church. And you know, if you put all the commands in the Bible and a Christian who desires to please God, you come up with an understanding that there has to be some diligence in our life. But the diligence is what God rewards and what God blesses, that diligence. So it's the ability to foresee the results of our decisions before they even happen. All right, and then taking care of even the little details. You know, details can be important. How many have ever lost a screw in your car? That bolt or that screw just wiggled its way out, you know, and you noticed it, but you said, it's just one little screw, no big deal. That ever happened to you? It's just a little screw, it'll be okay. And before you know it, something completely messes up. Wow. What a problem. You know, and if that one screw is put back in, it'll save you from having to fix a whole big thing, right? So this is a diligence in our life. Diligence has rewards in it. And you know, God doesn't want us to live as Christians who are always, you know, I wish I would have done that. God wants us to live with the peace of saying, I did do that. I did accomplish what God wanted me to do. And through that diligence in the Christian life, we see God's blessings and God's rewards. Amen. And you know, there's a lot of little things. And I learned in Christian life, if we take care of little things in our Christian life, it'll be easier to handle bigger things in our Christian life. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes, it says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, just little things. You say, well, I'm not a detail-oriented person. You know, I don't think any of us are by nature. And by that, I don't mean that we have to always be these perfectionist type and, you know. But I think what God is saying is, man, be wise about the small things in our life. Be wise about details. Take care of details because they give us rewards. Okay? And that's diligence. Now, diligence is also this refusal to be lazy or unproductive. I'm not just going to sit around. I'm not just going to sit around and do nothing. Boy, we have a nation like that. Just wants to do nothing. They want all the benefits. They want to be able to live high on the hog, but they don't want to do anything. Can I tell you what? Even if you don't get paid much, it's worth it to live a life of working and diligence because there's reward in it. You know, there's reward at the end of the day of a job well done. Isn't it a blessing to take a job and get it done and feel the reward of accomplishing something? That's a reward of diligence. You know, and some people never feel that in their life. They look at a task that really they can do. They can do that task, but they just say, they excuse it away. Oh, I don't want to do that. But you know what? That is something as a Christian we have to overcome in our own life. Amen. Don't get me wrong. There's some things that aren't that big a deal. But when it comes to our Christian life, God wants us to follow details and to be the kind of Christian that is diligent in what we do because it'll bring reward. All right? Okay, let's move on. Verse 25. This important verse, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Now, I wrote this down. Words have a powerful effect. Words have a powerful effect. And now, the context is talking about a person he's got heaviness of his heart. He's got a burden or a trouble or a problem or something he can't see his way through. Maybe it's a death or a loss or a problem, maybe a health problem or some reason has caused his heart to be heavy. And so Scripture says here, a good word maketh it glad. Now, I think this is the powerful effect of a church. I think a church has the effect to lift people's hearts when they're heavy. You know, there are times when everyone's heart gets heavy for different reasons. And the Bible says a good word maketh it glad. A good word has the opportunity to take the heaviness away from someone's heart. It's a powerful thing. It's powerful words. A good word. A word of encouragement. You know what the gospel is in the Bible? The gospel is good news. It's the good news of God. It's a good thing. It's a positive thing. And words like this have a powerful effect. And Christians should be ready to be encouraging of other Christians when their hearts are heavy. Amen? We should be ready to do that. I don't know how many times, your heart feels heavy, and sometimes you don't tell anybody about it. But somebody comes along, gives you a good word, encourages you, say, hey, keep on going. You're doing good. You're doing good. Just keep on going. You're doing well. How many times that can lift somebody up out of that heaviness? You know, by the way, that's another reason why everybody ought to go to church. Because when you get a heavy heart, Lord willing, there's somebody there to encourage you. And we need that. Amen? Don't hesitate as a Christian to give words of encouragement. Because that's needed. Now, I wrote down four groups of people that need good words. There's four groups of people, I think, especially in life, that need good words. Number one, teenagers. Teenagers need to hear good words. How are you doing? I'm proud of you. You know, it's amazing. When a teenager does right and you encourage them, said, man, I'm proud of you. You did good. That only makes them want to do good and do right all the more. You know? I think teenagers need good words. Amen? And it shouldn't be, oh, the teens over there, that's the teen group, and we're the, you know, adult group. That's them, and this is a... No, no, no. We're all one and together. And when we go to those teenagers, say, hey, I saw you in church. I saw you pass out that tract. Man, that's a good job. You did good. Teenagers need the encouragement of good words. Amen? There's a second group, I think. I think that's the elderly. The elderly need good words. Again, don't ever let it think, oh, a church is, well, there's the teenagers, and then there's the young people, and then there's the old people. Can I tell you what? That's not in the Bible. Everybody, we're one church. Amen? From Cali all the way up to Mrs. Stallman. Right? We're one. And you know, young people, can I remind you, elderly people go through things that we don't know, and it can create a heaviness on their life. And I think it's very important that a church encourage the elderly. Amen? Encourage the elderly. You know, the elderly can get disappointed at the condition of our nation. But when they see a young person serving the Lord, and they see children come into church, a good Christian, it lifts their heart up. It encourages them. It lets them know that God is still good in their life, and it can help dispel heaviness that comes in their life. So be an encourager to the elderly. All right, the third group I think that needs good words are people that are brokenhearted. People that are broken, people that have had a loss. Maybe a death, maybe an illness, or bad news in their life. They're brokenhearted. Maybe they've had a divorce. Maybe they've had some problem. All right, brokenhearted people have heavy hearts. And you know what? It's a good thing. A lady goes to a lady, puts her arm around her, and says, "Hey, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. God will take us through. You know, you're doing good." You know, we need to hear those words. We need to hear those words. We need to hear good words. Brokenhearted people need encouragement. And it's wise to do that. Because you see, we reap what we sow, don't we? And the day will come when we are brokenhearted and someone will come along and encourage us and lift us up out of the heaviness. And what a blessing that is. How good that is. That we can be lifted up out of our heaviness by powerful words. A good word maketh it glad. All right, there's a fourth group that I think need good words, and that is soldiers. Soldiers, people who fought for our country and, you know, faced battle lines, and veterans. You know, I was in, I stopped one day in a Denny's restaurant up there, and there was a group, probably about 15 men, and they all had Vietnam hats on, and they were all talking and all of this, and just, and I could hear them talking about old times, some of the battles, some of the problems and the things that they went through. And I told the lady, I said, "Give me all of their checks." I said, "I'm going to pay for their meal today." And because I'm a preacher and I've got tons of money sitting around, I decided I wanted to pay their meal. But listen, I just hoped I could encourage a soldier a little bit. Man, those Vietnam soldiers, when they came home, people treated them so horrible. And all they were doing was standing for freedom in our country. They were doing what they had sworn their duty to do. And people spat on them and mistreated them, maligned them. Oh, that makes me mad. Soldiers need encouragement. If you're ever out there and you see a soldier, shake their hand. Say, thank you for serving. Thank you for standing for our country. It means something to them. So I think there's four groups of people that especially need good news. Good news. All right, let's go on. Verse 26. Oh, I was hoping to get further. Verse 26. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Now, I had trouble understanding this verse until I started looking up the words in it. Now, it says here, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. Does it mean he's better? No, it means the word excellent here in this passage means to search out. So what it's saying is the difference between, and it's comparing with a neighbor, and I think it's like a moral person or a good person. He may be unsaved. You know, there are still some unsaved people. They're lost. In fact, there's a lot of them out there. They're moral people. They're good people, but they are lost. They're not saved. They don't know the Savior, but they're moral people. They're good people. So he's comparing here a righteous man and a neighbor, whom I can imagine is probably fits this category. So, but he's saying here, he's not better than that neighbor. He's saying he's more excellent, and the word excellent means search out. It means that a righteous man is seeking God. He's searching out God, whereas that neighbor, he may be a moral man, but he's not seeking out God. And that's the comparison. Now, the rest of the verse ties in understanding together here when it says, the way of the wicked seduceth them. Now, what is that talking about? So it means this. It means that Satan and the way of the wicked is temptation to anybody. Just because a Christian is seeking God and living for God does not mean that temptation could not ever come to us. Or even that neighbor. Either one of them, Scripture's saying, is vulnerable to temptation. So we have to be careful as we're Christians, amen? And not allow the taint of the world to spot us. We're no better than the world. You know, like that bumper sticker, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. That's so true. But the Christian ought to understand from the context of the passage that old devil's after all of us. And that wicked way, we have to just keep seeking God and searching God, understanding we're still made of flesh. And we're still sinners. And we need the Lord to allow us to live for Him. We need to repent of that old flesh, not live by that old flesh, but walk in that Spirit of God. Okay, so this is what he's talking about, okay? Now, verse 28, in the way of the righteous is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Now, again, the words of this passage, the words of this verse are what bring it alive. The word life here means strength or freshness. Strength or freshness. So understand, the way of the righteousness is strength and freshness. Now think of that. It's not talking about living, because all people are living. But a picture of the sinner who's unsaved is like Ephesians chapter 2, dead in trespasses and sins. Before a person gets saved, they're dead in trespasses and sins. They're spiritually dead. Only Christ brings life, this strength, this freshness of life. This is the freshness that we need every day in our life. I like things that are fresh. I don't like things when they get stale. You know, I pulled a bag of chips out of the counter the other day. I was going to make some nachos. And those chips were like eating, you know, cardboard. I said, what in the world? Had to throw them out. And get some fresh. We like things that are fresh. And you know, this is the pathway of the Christian. It's strength. And it's a fresh life. You know, sin brings this dead spirit into people. But God brings life. So he's saying in righteousness, in other words, the Christian who lives right is going to have a strong, he's going to have freshness in his life. And then he says here, and in the pathway means his course of life. His course of life thereof is no death. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, living for the Lord has this reward of living life fresh and living life in a strong way. And we need that. We need that kind of life. Amen? All right, let's go to chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Now, wisdom, I wrote this down. Wisdom is the ability to hear good instruction. Wisdom is the ability to hear good instruction. Here's a question. Why does a father instruct his son? Why does a father instruct his son? It's love. It's because he desires him to go in a good direction. He loves him. And this is the main source of a child who understands. This is what a father really corrects his son, because he loves him, doesn't want him to go that way. He can see the error of that way. And so he instructs him. He speaks out. Now, that son has to decide if he's going to hear it. And notice the rest of the verse says, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Now, this is really sad, is when a good father gives good instruction to a son and he doesn't want to hear it. That's sad. What causes a scorner not to want to listen? Well, three reasons. Number one, pride. Pride. He thinks he knows better. You know, I thought I knew better than my dad. You know, when I was a teenager, I thought I was smarter than my dad. My dad said, don't do this, don't do that. And I thought, why not? Well, you do it, and you find out, right? What he was trying to do is help me to avoid the consequences of it, so that I wouldn't have to face the consequences of that thing. Instruction is wisdom, because it says, I love you, and I don't want you to have to face those consequences. So sometimes pride, sometimes rebellion. Sometimes rebellion is there, and I don't want to hear it. I just want to do my thing. And that causes trouble. And then the third reason is just selfishness. Selfishness. I want to do what I want to do. You know, I tell you, we ought to raise our kids in such a way that they learn to listen at a very young age. That's called training. Train up a child the way they should go. And if they'll learn to listen to a father and understand that the father has the best in mind for them, then, Lord willing, that will continue as they go through life. You know, it's a blessing. My son called me. He was going to buy a car, and he called me and asked my advice on it. Well, I didn't think what car he wanted to buy was a bad deal, and so I gave him good advice. But when I hung up on the phone, I had this thought. I was glad he called me. He wanted to get my advice on it. And I think if I'd have told him no, he probably wouldn't have bought it. But here's another important point on a father's instruction. It's important as fathers that we don't give them instruction that benefits us. It's important that we give them instruction, first of all, with the priority of them serving God, obeying God, and doing what God wants. Because then a child cannot come to us and say, oh, he's just trying to control my life, or he just wants his way, or he's trying to fulfill a life he never had through me. But when we give instruction to a child that says, this is what God says, this is what God, you should do. And not everything in life, not every little decision is something that God tells us specifically in his word. But wisdom gives us principles on which we should decide and make decisions in life. So, and a wise son will go and ask a father these instructions, knowing that the father loves him and that he may know something about that subject that will help him avoid the consequences of a wrong decision. All right? So, important. Fathers should instruct. And you know, I know sometimes there's fathers don't want to instruct. They want to obfuscate that responsibility. And then sometimes a father, the only time they instruct is when they get mad. Right? You better listen to me. I'm going to grab you by the collar. Yeah? Hey, listen. Train before we instruct. Train. Get them in habits, good habits. Train them. And that helps them to listen at an early age. And as they grow up, Lord willing, that listening will continue. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes they don't listen, amen? Sometimes they don't. And sometimes they have to face consequences on their own. But as a dad, I want to give them a godly advice of what God would want them to do. Because that is what's going to give them blessings and success in their life. Okay. All right. Well, I think we got time for just a little bit more here. All right. Verses 2-5. Now, these kind of go together. Verses 2-5. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Now, I have this written down. Three of these five verses talk about good words. How good words bring good results. Good words spoken from the pathway of living right that is talked about in verse 28. When you're living right and you're on that right pathway, then you're going to want to instruct and use good words about others being on that pathway. Amen? Because it's a good path. It's a good course of life to live when you're living for God. By the way, every other course of life is going to bring you trouble and destruction. It's going to bring you trouble, destruction, heartache. God's designed it where man's blessed when we're walking in his path. And so wisdom tells us, all right, I want to stay on that path. I don't want to do anything to get off of that path. I want to just stay right on that. And if I stay on it, then I understand there'll be some blessings there. So good words come to this man. And he understands a good man, a godly, righteous man, he hates it when he hears lying. Verse 5. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. I'll be honest with you, there's false preachers and false prophets out there. And it really makes me angry when they lie to people. And they tell people, you're fine the way you are. You don't have to get saved. If you just do good deeds, you're good. That's a lie. That's a lie. If good deeds could get us to heaven, why would Jesus have needed to die on that cross? He died on the cross because we're sinners and we need the saving grace of God. And so a godly man's going to see that and he's going to say, no, I don't want to live like that. I want to live on the course of life. Boy, I'll tell you what, living that course of life to please God, it doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better than that. That course of life, that pathway of just serving God. Yeah, you'll have ups and downs on that path, no doubt. But when you're on that pathway, that course of life, that's talked about in verse 28, that pathway, you're going to want to love and live for God every day. And our life is going to show, it's going to be this type of life where God's blessings will be upon us. Amen. It doesn't mean everything's going to be smooth. You know, God sends us trials and God sends us troubles. But those troubles on the course of a Christian life are to keep us, to make us stronger and better than we are as we're trying to serve the Lord and live for Him. Amen? So suffice it to say, wisdom here teaches us about these details of life that are so important that if we'll take them, follow them, they will bless our life and God will keep us in His pathway. Amen? Amen. All right, well, we're going to stop right there.